Welcome back to Word of Mouth, I think. I'm not quite sure where I am. That music usually means that Internet Sherpa and awesome delivery man Brady Carlson is here in the studio with me, but I think now he's turned into a superhero.
I've been preempted by the band Europe. I guess that's probably appropriate.
It's a good, you know, not such a great time for Europe. It can use all the help it can get. Now, I know that Brady is here for the 2011 final countdown of the top 10 most awesome scenes, memes, and internet themes. It's been quite a year, Brady.
To put it mildly.
Well, let's start with number 10.
Protests. I put protests in there, from Occupy to the Arab Spring and so much more. We've talked about a ton about protests, and there's going to be more to come. But let's just say there are parallels between these protests, how they've come up, and the values of broader web culture that are worth noting. Web culture is so – it's about being participatory. It's virtual. It's decentralized. No leaders. And it abhors spin and honors transparency. You can see why people on the web would ask questions like, okay, why is it that no one I know supports the leaders of our country? No one I ever talk to on the web supports the leaders of our country, but they are reelected with 99% of the vote. Or how come these large banks are getting these big bailouts that I have to pay for when it doesn't seem like they're actually doing anything beneficial for the rest of us? So you can see, I'm not saying that web culture is responsible for it, but you know, there's certainly a connection that we see there.
How about political memes? That's something we heard floating around an awful lot. Maybe you need to refresh us on a meme.
A meme is essentially just a piece of information that sort of finds its way around and becomes a concept that people share. So an example of that was 999, Herman Cain's tax plan. It was just a very small, digestible piece of information and found its way around. And then a sub-meme of that was when video gamers started to notice that there was a similar plan in the video game SimCity. So that became a meme of its own. We didn't see a whole lot of innovation in the political campaign, at least thus far, but we did see a lot of memes. Speaking of Herman Cain, one that came up was in his speech where he was suspending his presidential campaign. He made a quote that came, of all places, from the Pokemon movie.
Let's hear it.
I believe these words came from the Pokemon movie. Life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible. It's never easy when there's so much on the line.
I think I have to pause for that kind of level of gravitas.
It's huge, isn't it? I mean, this is a presidential campaign, and it chooses Pikachu. So that's, you know, that's groundbreaking.
But some other big memes this year. I mean, who can forget Wienergate?
Wienergate, Anthony Weiner and his rogue tweets, the body tweets. And then the Rick Perry ad is the one that's really floating around now. His ad, Strong, where he's talking about, you know, how is it that that gays serve openly in the military, but our kids can't celebrate Christmas in school? And that pushed a lot of buttons on the web. You know, he speaks out about gays in the military, and web culture is largely pro-gay rights. And the fact that he's wearing a jacket that is essentially the same as the one for the movie Brokeback Mountain, there's an Aaron Copland song, and you know, Aaron Copland was gay. And so this one was all over the web.
Let's hear.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school. As president, I'll end
Obama's saw so many responses to that.
A lot
so many
of
people
remixes.
Who made up their own mixes.
There's a picture. Somebody took a still of that video where Rick Perry is talking, and they put Richard Simmons dancing behind him, making a very sort of excited face, as Richard Simmons often does. Last note on politics. You remember earlier on this year, there was the dust-up. Sarah Palin talking about Paul Revere's ride and sort of creatively retelling that.
Guns, bells ringing. That's what I remember.
Yeah, it was quite something. The Palin supporters started editing Wikipedia's article on Paul Revere after that happened to make the article consistent with what Sarah Palin had said about Paul Revere's ride. And I think that is not the last time we're going to see that. I mean, history has always been about people interpreting the facts and sort of disputing what the meaning of those facts were. But here you have a crowd on the web recognizing here's something that is politically important. Here is an opportunity for us to make history sort of work for us and taking action to make that happen.
And Wikipedia caught it, however.
They did. But you know, there's no rule against somebody setting up their own website to put that story up too. And who's to say you couldn't then cite that in a paper or an article or write letters to the editor about it?
Well, speaking of setting up your own, Google Plus this year is setting up a sort of challenge to Facebook.
For a while anyway, it was Google's latest attempt at a social platform, and immediately the buzz was out there. Everybody signed up because they thought everybody else was going to sign up. I got to say, at this point, most of the major social networks that I use, I see a lot less traffic there than I do anywhere else. It has some good features. It's got the video hangouts, which is a real innovation, and the idea of sharing within certain circles of your friends or coworkers was a nice innovation. It made it easy to sort of limit who saw what. But then Facebook turned around and essentially duplicated most of those features, and at this point, a lot of people are just wondering what the point of Google Plus is. There was even a Google engineer who wrote on Google Plus that same thing and said, well, this is just a reaction to Facebook. It's not a game changer. It's not a Facebook killer. It's sort of a reaction. Google is an innovative company, and they are integrating Google Plus into Gmail, into Google Docs, into all of the other features that Google offers. It's a huge number of tools that millions of people use. So it may just turn out that Google Plus is a different kind of game changer, just not the one that we thought it was.
Okay, Facebook also made the list. We'll have to start ticking through them because there are so many ideas.
Facebook tried to cover a lot of ground this year, putting in these new features where they're essentially trying to become the source. I call it almost like an identity bank. You know, you put all of your assets into a bank, and Facebook wants to be the bank for everything that you read, all of the music you listen to, your photos, your personal connections. They want to put that all in there. And the other thing about banks is that it's really hard to switch. They're hoping that information is going to stay in one place. It makes it easy for them to sell advertising, make tons of money. And they're hoping that, you know, you'll have so much stuff of your own on Facebook that you just say, oh, it's just not worth making the effort to move to a Google Plus or some other network.
Okay, so Putin and political branding is your number six. Just give us a sentence on that, if you can.
Vladimir Putin wants to make himself to look like a strong man on the web, so he puts pictures of himself shooting tigers and
doing
judo.
And he can.
And he did. Right now, not working so well. The latest viral Putin video is of him getting booed at an event, so we'll see whether that still works out next year.
Well, a little rebranding for Detroit as well. You're number five.
Number five, Detroit needs RoboCop. There's two trends that I find really interesting. One is called the internet is leaking, meaning that something from web culture winds up spilling out into real life. There's a lot of RoboCop fans on the web, and they thought, oh, it'd be cool to have a statue of RoboCop in Detroit, where the movie takes place. On top of that, there's this trend of social lending, which we talked about, you know, sites like Kickstarter, where you can see a good idea and put a little bit of money to help it get off the ground. This brings both of those trends together, and I expect a lot of copycats. For example, I would like to see the city of Los Angeles erect statues of the A-Team. And anybody wants to get on that, take it. You can do what you want with it.
Okay. Character memes. This is one of these are all over this year. Give us the little read on.
Sure, like misleading doctor, business cat, unhelpful high school teacher. You just take a picture and then have different captions to go along with that. So, for example, misleading doctor, at the top of the page will say, give you some shocking information. Your husband is dead. And at the bottom, it'll say, dead set on sticking to the new diet I prescribed. It's a misleading doctor. There are a ton of these because, you just take a picture, add it to a template, and people just sort of run with it. So they're just kind of repetitive, but they're fun.
Another thing that people ran with, or I guess I could say,
lay down with
this year, planking.
I
mean, what?
This is the inexplicable side of the web. I don't think I can live to be 1,000 years old and I could understand why there was this trend of people posting pictures of themselves laying down like planks. Memes mutate, so at least we got to see some kind of odd variations on this. Owling, where you had pictures of people sitting on perches like they were owls. This is not a very serious mutation of the meme. And now it's Tebowing, where you sort of bow your head in prayer like the quarterback Tim Tebow of the Denver Broncos does before a game. I think next year it's going to be Prescotting, where you go to a live event and interview Chris Matthews or Chuck Palahniuk or whoever. I think that's going to be the next trend.
I think that's really going to catch on, Brady. Smart tech getting super smart. That's your number two pick.
Yeah, well, you think about a voice-activated assistant like Siri. That's something that 5 years ago seemed a little ways off. Those are smart. But the one that really caught my eye was the variations on the iPad. I mean, there's a touchscreen interface, and as that is becoming more and more common, you see the tablets really starting to explode. But there's a new device called the Reveal Mirror. The New York Times, of all people, is behind this. And the idea is to put information in your bathroom mirror, essentially turn that into your morning iPad. It's got news, headlines, it's got weather updates, it's even got health stats if you want. There's been this sort of vague concept of a smart house floating around for, you know, decades. Now it could actually happen because you could start to turn the whole house into an integrated series of touchscreen interfaces, putting the information that you would want at that particular time in front of you, which is pretty mind-blowing.
A little too much for me at
almost,
this moment.
Yeah.
This is something I can, however, consider your number one for 2011. This is the one that succeeds Double Rainbow Guy Keyboard Cat as the viral trend of the year.
Oh, yeah. So what did we learn from Rebecca Black this year and the song Friday? Well, we know that people can produce any song they want now. It's very easy to do that. You can pay someone to produce it for you if you like. If you're not a trained singer, well, that's what auto-tune is for. If you can't dance, you can hire people to dance in your video. And then anybody can post that video to YouTube. Videos on YouTube can catch the imagination of the web, sometimes because they're really great, sometimes because they're really not great. And that's kind of what happened here. And as something starts to make its way around the web and go viral, get shared all over, the media picks up on it. They go, this must be a trend. And so all of a sudden, you have a 13-year-old from literally out of nowhere who becomes one of the biggest selling artists of the year, making a ton of money. And then we spend the whole year talking about a song that none of us seem to like. So there's a little bit of snark, a little bit of viral, a little remixing. It's Friday.
All the right ingredients. Friday. Not Friday yet. When we return, Brady and I are going to wrap up the Word of Mouth's year-long series 11 for 11. This is NHPR. I want time to fly, fun.